So welcome, everybody. This is Elaine Taylor-Klaus with Impact ADHD, and I'm so thrilled to have everybody here for this Coaches Club Parent Success System for the 2013-2014 school year. I want to read you a little prologue or intro that Diane and I wrote at the beginning when we first designed this Coaches Club, and then we'll go in and talk a little bit about what we're going to do today, and then we'll get into doing it. In this group, we come together to share ideas and create a safe space where no one gets to be wrong. You are each encouraged to share what you want and to support each other in enhancing the learning for all of us. Our experience is that it's the most valuable if you can do this in the form of sharing your own experience rather than through giving advice to someone else. So I'll follow this no advice guideline as well. Even as a mom, as a child who, or children who have ADHD, I'll sometimes share my own experiences, and then as your coach, I might interrupt your story to help us get to the heart of the matter. But ultimately, my role is to facilitate and ask questions and encourage you to discover solutions that are going to work for you. Is everybody sort of on board with that and agree with that?
Yes.
Great. So the way that this call, you got a little sample of it last time we met, but I want to sort of reiterate it now that we're really starting to get more deeply into the content and the structure of the program. The way this call works is we'll always start off the call with a little check-in. Maybe it'll be a celebration, maybe it'll be a challenge, but a little check-in with you, what's going on since the last time we met and since you were using the last structure. And then we'll talk a little bit and give everybody a chance to identify a challenge area that you're working with. And people will have as much time as possible to share your issues or get some coaching around it, depending on how many people are on the call and really whether that's you're dealing with something you really want some coaching around. So you'll have an opportunity to volunteer at times for some coaching. But everybody will get an opportunity to identify a challenge area that you're struggling with that you want to address. And then I'm going to introduce a concept every week, a new coaching tip or coaching skill that I'll teach you about a little bit, and then we'll play with it and talk about it and have some conversation. And then everybody will be encouraged to figure out, to come up with a little mini plan on how you're going to use that skill to address the problem that you brought to the day. And what we love about coaching is that the skills are really versatile. And so you can take one coaching skill and use it to address lots of different kinds of problems. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And once we get to that point, as I say, I'll ask for a volunteer to get some coaching to really get a little bit more depth, maybe a little bit more of a plan. And then at the end of the call every day, we will end with our four questions, which is a way for you to sort of wrap up and take away something from the call that you've learned. I believe, did everybody get the workbook draft, the first couple of pages of it?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't
got to look at it yet.
It's in there. Okay. So we're creating a workbook to go with the program for the year, and when we send you a final version, we will ask you to, you know, print it out, put it in a notebook, but we want to finish tweaking it, and we tend to be perfectionists about these things, so we want to make sure we got it just as we want it before we ask you to print it. So each week you'll have a topic. The topic that we're addressing will be in the workbook, and there'll be a page for you to answer the four questions so that you can keep a record of what you're doing in this process, sort of like a journal. And when we coach people one-to-one, we really encourage them to keep a journal, to keep everything in one place so that you can watch what's happening, go back and look at how you dealt with something previously and see your progress. And see what you've committed to, so it can be really effective. Any questions so far?
Mm-hmm.
Just one more quick administrative thing before we move on. I do want to let you know that we are going to be changing this call-in number. We really wanted to accommodate some of our members who are in Canada who were not able to use that number for whatever reason. So we will be sending you a new one, and when you get it, probably on Monday, please replace the number you've got in your calendar with that one, because that'll be the number for the duration. And the other thing I want to ask you, not for this group, it's for the evening group, so never mind. So that's it. Any questions before we go on?
Nope.
Great. Okay. So, and I do not have anybody on mute. If you're in a place where you're, you find there's loud noise in your space, feel free to mute yourself and then let us know or unmute when you want to talk. But it's a small enough group where we should be able to have a conversation. And I really want you to engage in conversation. If you've got questions, let me know. Or you can raise your hand by pressing star 2, and I'll see that you've raised your hand or that you want to interject something if you want to share something or ask a question. But I really want to encourage you to make it as interactive as possible. And there are going to be days where you want to and days you don't, and that's fine. But that interactivity will make it a little less of me just talking at you and a little more of us sharing and learning from each other. So does everybody agree to participate to the extent of your comfort zone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. So just a quick check-in. I want to go around, let anybody who would like to share tell me sort of based on having listened to or attended the orientation call where we introduced the parenting action model. So, you know, taking aim, getting educated, planning, and taking action, and then wash, rinse, and repeat. Has anybody used that this week, or is there anything going on that you want to either celebrate or a challenge you want to share? Actually, let's start with celebrations and anything from the last call.
I'll go. It's Christy.
Okay.
The first call that I was on, we talked a little bit about my son's testing, his neuropsych testing, and I know Elaine already knows this story, but the information she gave me on that call just about how kids with ADHD often use fantasy and lying and making up other worlds for themselves as a coping mechanism, the doctors thought he had a real psychosis where he was living in a world that's not reality to the rest of us. And so I talked to her about that at the next appointment. It was actually the next day after the call, and they were really open to that idea and really thought that maybe what's going on with him rather than a true psychosis, which was a big relief to not have to think that he is, I mean, that's definitely another issue than ADHD. So that was kind of a celebration just to be educated a little bit more on what some of the real manifestations are of ADHD.
Right. And I thank you for sharing that, Christy, because it's, I mean, I have to tell you, that story stuck with me for days. I was so blown away by it.
Yeah.
Not only that that we were able to sort of pinpoint what was going on so quickly, but that your team was responsive to it.
Mm-hmm, they were,
it was a
yeah.
really good sign, you know, that they didn't rule it out and say no, 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 but they listened and they heard. That shows you have a really good communication going with them, which is great. So thank you for sharing that. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Celebration or something you've been dealing with in the last couple weeks?
I didn't get a chance to listen to orientation. I wasn't sure which one it was on the list of calls. But I guess our celebration is that our son started kindergarten, and he's coming home happy, and that wasn't the case in preschool. He was getting in a lot of trouble in preschool, and I feel like his teachers are just so much more educated on dealing with different children. And I feel like he's in a really good place, so that's been good for us to pick up the happy boy.
That's got to feel like a relief.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And what I will tell you is he's not always going to come home happy.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely not.
And that's okay. That's okay, but yeah. It's really nice to recognize that he can. So you see that possibility,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And this is Joelle talking, right?
Yes, it's Joelle.
So I want to just invite everybody, when you start speaking for a while till everybody gets to know each other's voices, is please introduce yourself, because I forgot to do that. And somebody else just joined us. Who's here?
Hi, Elaine. Rebecca Cheskis.
Hello, Rebecca. Welcome. So
I'm getting
Rebecca,
information.
I will make sure that you do. Thank you for telling me that. My apologies.
Thank you. That's okay.
And if you, there's another call at 8 o'clock tonight. So if you feel like you'd like to catch in and jump back in and catch the beginning of it tonight, and you can do that. And you can always go back and listen to the first 15 minutes of this call.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Joelle, you was just saying you haven't had a chance to listen to the orientation call. So I want to encourage everybody, if you were not able to attend one of those calls a couple of weeks ago, to please take the time to go listen to the calls. Because
I looked for it. I just couldn't find it.
Okay. And if that's the case,
the labeled orientation call?
I will look and I don't know. I have to go look at it, and I don't want to change screens to do it right now.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If ever you guys have trouble with anything, just email me or email Diane, and we'll figure it out. We are Elaine at Impact ADHD and Diane at Impact ADHD. We really want to make it
complicated. I think I sent the wrong email. I sent it to – I replied to whatever email you sent out, so it might be a –
Oh. Well,
you know, like not
it,
a thing you check. It's fine.
It's not monitored as quite as frequently, probably.
Right, yeah.
The team at Impact ADHD will usually get you pretty good access to.
Okay.
But don't hesitate. If something's going on, let us know then. Don't sit with it and fester and get annoyed. We're happy to help. We just have to know there's a
problem. Oh, gosh, it was just yesterday. No biggie.
Okay. Well, and I'll make sure. And so in terms of administration and communication, you will be getting an email from us every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Either with sort of a wrap-up of here's what we talked about last week or sort of looking ahead, here's what's coming up this week. So if there's any tweaks or changes, please make sure you just – we will keep it short and simple, but please make sure you check out the Monday message, okay?
Have you already been sending it or no?
We just sent one this last Monday. Well, no, we may not have. So, but, Rebecca, I've noted it, and I will make sure that we make sure you're in the group.
That's fine.
Right.
How many people are on the call?
One, two, three. So we got 6 people on the call today. Right now there are 9 people in this group. We will close all groups out at 12.
Okay.
And usually if there are 9 people in a group, we'll get, 5, 6, 7 people on a call. You're not going to get everybody
right.
on the call.
No, of course.
It'll
okay.
work out. We're going to try to start the calls as close to on time as possible. And knowing that you can always go back in and listen if you need to, but I want to respect everybody's time. And the truth is we're sort of playing with it. We want to make sure we can get done what we want to get done for you in the time allotted and make sure that we're meeting your needs. And if not, then we may extend the call 15 minutes if we feel like people really aren't getting the support they need. So that's part of, from an administrative place, we're trying to play with it and make sure and tweak things a little bit.
Yep.
Any other questions or comments or sharing or whatever? So we were just, Rebecca, we were just sort of hearing from people about what's been happening in the last couple of weeks since the orientation.
Okay. I got to listen to about 10 minutes of it. That's it.
Good. Well, and I really encourage you guys to go back and listen to it because that's when we describe the parenting action model. And the parenting action model is, and you'll get it when you look at your workbook as well, when you get the workbook, but it really is the context that all of this is happening in. Because every time you have any challenge that you're dealing with your child, you can plug it into this action model and figure out how to respond. And it will take you through the really little challenges and it'll take you through the big ones. And so we've designed it to be versatile, but to really give you something to structure. And it seems simple, but remembering to just stop and take aim and figure out what your question is in the first place can be really huge. And I'll give you an example. I was giving a talk at a school a couple of weeks ago, last week, and one of the parents was saying the challenge she wanted to focus on was her child was getting out the door to school in the morning. And so as I started asking her questions, it got to be really clear that the challenge was really actually getting her child out of bed in the morning, right? And she looked at me, she said, I have to be that specific?
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, yeah, you do, that you've really got to get very specific on what's the challenge you're trying to address, because the more narrow you can get sometimes, the easier it is to really source out what will work and what the challenges are. So that's where the take aim really makes a difference. And so I encourage you all to go really look at the parenting action model, print it out because you got it in an email, put it up somewhere so you can really get it into your brain because it's powerful and it works. So here's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to wait to identify – actually, I want everybody to just for a minute for yourself, and you can share it if you want. Identify one challenge area that you'd like to focus on the next 2 months with your child or in your family. Just one thing, and if you'd like to share it, we'd love to hear it.
This is David. I'll share one. My big one as well as my son's is emotionality and impulsivity for both of us.
Okay. Good acknowledgement and good recognition that you are part of the challenge. David, do you know about the Minimize Meltdowns program that we have?
Yes. And
okay,
I've got
so you have
to time to look at that. You know, unfortunately, for what I do for a living, it's end of quarter. You know, September 30th is Monday, so I've been a little busy trying to get things cleaned up over the past couple of weeks. So hopefully after next Monday things will loosen up, I can go out there and start doing a little more research on those types of things or on that.
Good. Well, so you get points for being here today, even though it's right before the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it offline. Email me about it. But if that's really a struggle area, because it's a broad area, which is fine, then I think Minimize Meltdowns might be a great program for you to go through. And we can, as I say, we'll talk offline about that more. So can you focus in on one thing you'd like to see focusing on change right now, David?
Well, I guess it's more as when I see it coming, when he starts going into his tantrum or tirade, is figuring out tactics on how I can handle that.
Okay.
So that, you know,
so
I don't go into a tirade.
See it coming. Okay. So maybe what I think when you see it coming, the first thing is how do you keep yourself calm?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what
so,
I want to
no,
focus
I try,
on.
Do I walk away? Do I make him go away? Try to, you know.
Right.
I mean, why are you doing? Are you okay? You know, take a deep breath.
Dave,
you know, those type of things. So.
Dave, stop. Stay with me for a minute. Right now, I just want you to identify the problem area. We'll look at how to address it in a little bit. But so the problem you're identifying is how do you stay calm so you don't get triggered by him? Is that what I'm hearing?
That would be great.
Okay. Who else wants to share one?
I think mine's similar. Emotionality and impulsivity. This is Joelle, sorry, yes. But a lot of it has to do with peers because they don't know how to stay calm and carry on. So I feel like he can very easily isolate himself from his peers because he just, you know, freaks out instead of just talking it through. And he's resilient in that the freak out doesn't usually last a long time, but it's enough to make his peers not want to, you know, play it with him anymore.
So you're really looking at the helping him learn to manage it so he doesn't alienate his peers.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially for the little things, you know. It's kind of irritating, I think, for the people around him.
Yeah. So it may be his management is still a big issue. So let's look specifically at how to figure out or identify when it's a little issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So that tendency to overreact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Anybody else?
This is Rebecca Chestis.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Rebecca, first.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, this might sound a little silly, but my son, you know, will sing while he's brushing his teeth, and it's a little hard to get them clean if you're doing that. So I would like for him to just brush his teeth, and, you know,
totally.
That would, yeah. His flexibility is high in our house.
Okay, so brush teeth without singing.
Yes, you want it specific.
And aren't we happy that he wants to sing?
You know, I do love that aspect. I really do.
All right. We'll get to it. Okay. Who else?
This is Christy. And it's similar to the first two that were mentioned, but I was going to put it more in the relationship category, kind of his social skills at school. He's come home the last 2 days very sad and somber that people are making fun of him and a kid pushed him against the wall and he hit his head. And so those kind of issues, he doesn't know how to handle social situations and keep friends.
Okay. So can I, if somebody is like doing dishes or putting something away, if you're sort of moving around and making noise in the background, would you just mute yourself? Thank you. Okay, so Christy, I'm going to try to get you to narrow it even more.
Okay.
Because social skills is a big category and people making fun
yes.
is big. So what's the one thing you'd like to see changed?
I guess on how he needs to handle it, because I don't think it's going to stop kids making fun of him.
So maybe it's just teaching him how to handle when people are making
yes.
fun.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So that doesn't
ruin
the rest of his day. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. And anybody else? Cheryl, do you want to identify a challenge, or you don't have to if you don't want to? I'm just offering it.
Well, I've been trying to think, and everything seems like it's really a small thing, but I guess I would narrow it down to I want her to be a little better with her homework. Like she's requiring a lot of coaxing and reminders and with homework.
Okay. So a little more autonomy with homework, which I know you've had in the past because I know her. So that's sort of a new thing for her not to be doing it on her own.
That's because she didn't want to take her medication.
Right. Okay. Why is a different reason. Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody sort of got something that you know you want to focus on in the next couple of weeks. And Cheryl, you spoke to it beautifully, that yes, it's small, but it's the small things that help us make the big changes. So sometimes when we focus in on one thing, not only will it'll inform how you're addressing the larger issues, right, but they'll get a success under their belt. And, I was doing this a series of media interviews on Tuesday, and one of the things, I was talking with an educator named Michelle Borba, and one of the things we were talking about is, you know, repetition is critical for these kids because they're not going to learn it the first time or the second time or the third time. And it takes probably 3 weeks to build a habit. And I've read that number in lots of different ways. I've heard 2 weeks, I've heard 6 weeks, you know, but 2 to 3 weeks. So we want you to choose one thing on each of these calls to focus on for the next 2 weeks because they may get it for a few days and then forget it, right? So you got to keep reinforcing it, and that's why we do one little thing at a time, because those successes will give them something that they can look to and you can look to and say, see, that worked, now let's try something else, okay? So now I want to shift gears a little bit and give you some strategy to play with. And as I said, we started off last time talking about the parenting action model, which is the process that we go through as parents whenever we want to try to create change and whenever we're trying to address any issue. We take aim and we get specific about what it is, and then we get education and information. What do we need to know about what's happening to really understand it? Then we look at strategies. We get a plan, get information, what are the options, and then we take action. So those are the steps that we're going to take. So on these calls, we're going to help you take aim, and then unfortunately, we'll give you a little information and education, but we're going to sort of skip that part and go to the planning or to the options. As we get clear and have these conversations, you will probably leave the call with something you know you need to understand more about or learn more about. So there may be further study for you or further reading. There may be going to spend some time on the site and looking up emotionality or resilience, or I don't think you're going to find anything on singing while brushing your teeth, Rebecca. But, you know, generally speaking, there's all of these issues you've identified, there's going to be something on the website that's already addressing it that you can read and learn more about. So the education and information piece is going to be yours to sort of figure out. And what we're trying to do is each Monday we'll give you each topics. After we've heard everybody's topics for the week and how the skill is working, on the Monday message in between will give you some ideas for further information and education. So I just want to sort of plant that with you that you know, obviously you're not going to get absolutely everything you need in this one-hour call, but if we can help you get clear on the problem and identify what else, what you don't know that you need to know, that's huge in and of itself. So that's part of what we're looking for here. Now, as we get into the planning part of the action model, what Diane and I have created is a model that includes four what we call critical response areas or strategic response areas. And we're going to teach each of those four in the next four classes, in the next four calls. And I'll tell them to you now, and then we're going to focus on one of them today. What we love about these four responses is that any challenge that you have, that you face with ADHD, but frankly, with almost anything, can be addressed with your kids with one of these four strategic areas. And then after we cover these four sort of uber categories, then we'll go into more strategies throughout the rest of the year. But everything else we do will fall into one of these four categories. And the four categories are shifting expectations, parenting positively, activating the brain, and using systems and structures. Those are the four. And almost everything you need to do to address, you can address with one of those four areas. So today we're going to talk about shifting expectations. What do I mean by that? Some of you have heard me talk about this before. I know that Cheryl, you and I have talked about it before. Shifting expectations is not the same as lowering them. It's about looking at our kids for who they are and where they are instead of looking at them from what we think they should be able to do based on their age or their peers or what sort of society tells us that they should be able to do. And the analogy I use a lot when I'm explaining this to parents is that if you imagine a kid in a wheelchair at the bottom of a flight of stairs, you would not likely say to that child, run on up those stairs, because it wouldn't be kind, it'd be cruel. But you could say to the child at the bottom of a flight of stairs in a wheelchair, you could say, I want to help you get to the top of those stairs, and I know you can do it. So that's my challenge to you, is get to the top of the stairs. And I can support you along the way and help you figure out how if you need some help. In that circumstance, that child feels empowered and knows that you believe that he or she can do it. So they may still have some struggle getting to the top of the stairs. They may be pulling up with their arms. They may be pushing up on the stairs. They may create some elaborate pulley system, and it's going to take them a lot longer than the kid who can just run up the stairs. And when they get there, there's going to be a huge cause for celebration because it's going to have taken innovation and ingenuity to get, and perseverance to get there. But it takes a while, and we have to understand that they were in a wheelchair and that what it takes to get up to the top of that stairs is different than a kid who is just regularly abled and can run on up the stairs. Everybody with me so far?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, and I know it's hard for us to have a kid with a disability and not really want to see it with it as a disability. Or some of us may have other children who have more profound disabilities, and so it's hard to see this in that same light. But the truth is that if we're asking a kid with ADHD to behave in a way that their body or brain is not yet capable of doing, and notice I use the word yet, then it's very much like asking a kid in a wheelchair to run on up the stairs. So we need to shift how we approach that with them. Not lower the expectations, but set the expectations according to what's appropriate to that child at her or his stage and level of development. So I often like to say that our kids are, you know, 10 going on 5 or 6, because there's generally somewhere around 3 to 5 years behind their same age peers in some aspects of their development. Not all, and that is part of what can be confusing. Particularly, sometimes you'll see some of these girls are physically more mature than their same-age peers. But developmentally, particularly when it comes to organization and executive function, they tend to be several years behind their peers. Eventually, most of them will catch up, but we have to shift our expectations to what's reasonable for them now, not what would be reasonable for a same-age peer at the same development. So checking in again. Anybody, everybody with me? Anybody have any questions?
I agree.
Okay. And sometimes it's hard when you have siblings because, like I was saying to somebody this morning, my middle child is really my oldest child because my middle child is developmentally in many ways, not in all, but in many ways, particularly in terms of organization and executive function, she's more mature than her older sister. So there sometimes it messes with the family dynamic when you've got an older child who's not behaving in quite the same way as their younger sibling. And so it gets really confusing when you start trying to shift those expectations. But what's critical is that we begin to see where our child's challenge is and shift the expectation to match that child to where she is and where we want him to go as a reachable stretch rather than a leap. So, questions? Okay. So if you have any questions, feel free to pop in or let me know. What I'm going to suggest each of you do now is thinking about shifting expectations. I want you to apply that strategy. And it might not be the best absolute strategy to your challenge area, but I want you to just try it and apply it to your challenge area and see what you come up with. And think about how could you use shifting expectations to help you address the challenge that you're facing. And if anybody would like a little bit of coaching around it, let me know.
So are you talking about, like, in my example, if I want him to be able to brush his teeth for 2 minutes without singing, then maybe I would ask him to do it for 30 seconds quietly and then, you know, say, okay, now you can be yourself.
Right. Great. Good example. So what you're asking yourself first is, am I setting a reasonable expectation? Right?
Right.
Is 2 minutes without brushing your – because if you're getting him to brush his teeth for 2 minutes, you're doing better than I've ever done, first of all.
He's not really doing it. That's the problem. I mean
– and I'm laughing at your example because we used to try to teach them to sing the happy birthday song twice through because that's apparently supposed to be 2 minutes. But it's a perfect application of it, Rebecca, that if you take it and say, okay, 2 minutes may not be reasonable, but what is reasonable for him to do? Can he do 30 seconds? Can he hum to himself instead of singing? Do I care if he gets toothpaste all over the place if he's doing it, right? Like, what are the pieces I need to look at to set him up for success with it instead of only being frustrated by it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So do you feel like he could do it for 30 seconds?
Oh, definitely. I think we just have to start small.
Okay, and work up. And if he did it for 30 seconds, would you be okay with that for now?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. That's easy. Anything else?
Say that again.
I was just teasing. So because why? What were you saying?
Well, he can already do that probably, but at least it would feel like he was listening and following the direction that I gave.
So there's another piece here, which is about reinforcing positively, enabling him to be successful by following the direction and then seeing that so that he can see the success there too.
Right.
Did I say that clearly? Because that's really important. What Rebecca just said is if she shifts the instruction to him to someplace where she knows he can be successful, then she can reward him for the success, which enables her to then encourage him to then shift it, you know, okay, let's see if we can push it up to a minute.
Guess what? My son is home with me, and he heard me, so guess it's private time for me. Goodbye. Happy Sukkot, everyone. Close the door, Elon.
Well, it's a nice night to have dinner outside.
I'm not going to
Okay, so Rebecca, I'm going to let you deal with him for a minute. And is he still there?
I sent him out, yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
all right. So I hear two things happening there. One is I hear you shifting an expectation to what you think he can meet and setting him up for success by doing so, right? The other question that comes to me is what else might you use to motivate him? So that's another place I'm going to just sort of plant the question for you to look at if it's important to lengthen that time for you with him, is how can you motivate him to want to do it? Because our kids are not well motivated by doing it just because we want them to. But if he had some benefit to him for doing that, if there was some gain for achieving that milestone, what would that do?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to answer that now. I just want you to sort of ponder that.
Okay? No, I understand. Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else want a little coaching around your challenge area and shifting expectations?
I feel like this is Joelle again. I feel like sort of shifted the expectation with him in that he's not allowed to go into the playroom by himself when I'm not supervising because I just don't think he can handle it, even though his teenage peers are allowed to.
His peers are allowed to. I just didn't understand you. Even though his peers are allowed to, you said?
Same age peers are allowed to do certain things that he's not. And he fights me on it. But you know, I don't know. I don't know how to shift expectation of him, I don't know, playing with.
So let me ask you a question. When we were talking about it, what you were identifying was helping him see when his reaction is sort of over the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
So give us an example of what might be happening.
I mean, for example, a group of them might be doing a game where, I don't know, somebody's made up a rule that you have to have a ticket to get in, but the ticket is like a juice box or something, you know, just like random kid stuff. And he doesn't understand how to do all the steps to get in, or they'll say, what's the magic password, stuff like that. And instead of trying to solve that problem or figure it out, he just says, well, I don't like you. I don't want to play with you. He just kind of freaks out. So
right.
It's hard for him to engage in these kind of games where it's not just real clear-cut how you can participate.
Right. So what you've said three times that I want you to hear you're saying, because you're right on target, is it's hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really hard for him. He's in an environment where the expectations are not clear. It's not black and white, and he's a black and white thinker.
Yeah.
Right. And so not only are the rules changing, but the kids, so they're probably changing in midstream.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right. The rules keep changing, yep.
They do. And, I mean, poor kid, he can't process that.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really understand what's happening. So what happens when he doesn't understand?
He sort of shuts down.
Okay. So what would help him, what do you think it would help him to understand? What does he need to know?
I don't know if it's what he needs to know. He needs to learn how to go with the flow and just sort of, I don't know.
So I'm going to push you a little bit, may I?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Learn how to go with the flow means what? What do you have to do to go with the flow?
Well, listen to those around you. Take in the information. I mean, things that are all, like you said, it's hard for him.
Right.
Taking the information.
I want you to break it down. You have to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take it in. You have to process it. And then you have to figure out what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear all those steps?
Yeah.
So where is it breaking down for him?
If there's not an immediate acceptance or immediate, like, yes, come play, come do this, you know. Or if somebody else is taking the lead and not really, and he doesn't know how to
get in to the game, you know?
Right.
He does very well with kids who say, let's play chase, and then they chase each other, you know what I mean?
Right. Because he doesn't have to process information.
Right.
What you're describing mm-hmm. is his processing challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's mm-hmm. having a hard time taking information and figuring out what he's supposed to, how he's supposed to act in response to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the first step that he's encountering that's raising the hairs on the back of his neck?
I think something, what he perceives as no.
Right.
But it's not necessarily okay. No. It might be no. And also, I mean, you know, he also needs to learn how to react to no.
Yes. And there's many steps involved with learning mm-hmm. to react to no. So where I'm trying to point you to look at is what's the first mm-hmm. step for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first mm-hmm. step here is how do you handle hearing the word no?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Whether he gets
it from an adult or from a peer.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Okay. So what do you understand about how he's what's happening when he hears the word no?
What do you mean? Like, what's he experiencing?
Yeah, what's his experience when he hears the word no?
I mean, he's frustrated and disappointed and angry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does he have any clue how to turn that no into a yes?
You know, it's not his strong suit. No. I mean, if I'm standing there with him, then we can talk through it, and, you know, I can give him more, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
let's guess the password. What could it be, you know? Like,
right.
But if I'm not there, then no, he doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't have a clue what to do besides
okay.
yell or scream or hit somebody or run away or
right.
cry, you know.
So anybody having, so what I'm getting a sense of here is that the place to focus, may not be as much about how to help him figure out when his reaction is over the top, but how
mm-hmm.
to recognize for him, it may be about how do I deal with disappointment in the first place? Like, if it doesn't go the
mm-hmm.
way I want, what do I need to do?
Okay,
and
yeah, that's probably better.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the choices that you might help him figure out? And I'm opening this up to anybody if you have any other suggestions that have worked for you to share with Joelle. But what are some of the things that you can help him do or tools that he could use when he when he hears the word no? Anybody have any thoughts? Anybody had this experience?
Well, this is Christy. I have a little bit with my son. I'm not sure how old your son is or your child is, Joelle.
He'll be 5 in November.
Okay. My son's a little bit older, so what I've tried with mine, he's 9, is compromising. And I actually think I don't know if I read this on on your website or in a blog or saw a video on it, but just when we tell him no and giving him the option to say, okay, Mom, can I have a compromise on this? Like I say, we need to turn the TV off in 5 minutes and we can do blah, blah, blah. He'll say, Mom, can I have a compromise? Can I turn it off in 10 minutes? And then I'll do da, da, da. And if I'm okay with that, I'll say yes. But if I'm not,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. So it's kind of like negotiating with him, but still getting him to do what I need him to do. But then he's still motivated to do it because he feels like he got a say in the when or the how. Or.
Mm-hmm.
That's great because that gives him some choice and makes him feel
yeah.
he's got some control. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in negotiating with our kids. I know people have that belief that, well, I'm the parent, they should do what I say. But I want them to learn to
yeah, that
negotiate
work.
With me. Well, and let me tell you why I think it's most important for our kids. Because when they're 14 and 15 and 16 and other kids are saying, do you want to smoke this pot? Do you want to smoke this cigarette? I want them to have those skills really well honed to be able to say, I won't do that, but I'll do this. Right?
Rebecca, and I have a big problem with the negotiation factor because he takes advantage of it, and he thinks that everything is a negotiation. And I have always felt like you do, that it's good, but like then he start then I, when it's really time that there is no negotiation about it, I'm lost. That's my problem.
So that's when you're really clear, when you can, so then you'll have the communication with him in advance that says, okay, I'm willing to negotiate with you on this one. And you can have this conversation with him, Rebecca, because he's old enough, especially yours, to
be able
to say, okay, here's the deal.
Fine.
But when I say that's it.
Right.
And you set the line, and it won't take more than a couple of times for him to figure out that when you say, okay, this is my line, that they'll respect it.
Right.
They don't have to like it. Now, here's the other thing. Sometimes we want them to not only do what we want them to do, but we want them to do it with a good attitude and a smile on their face.
Right.
And they don't have to like it. They have to be respectful about it, but they don't have to like it.
Right.
Sometimes they just have to do it. Right?
Yeah.
And we have to be okay with the fact that they may not like it.
Yeah.
You know? So the line that we used to use a lot was, this no is not turning into a yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which was a really – so when we said that, they knew we were done.
Uh-huh.
That was our bottom line. If I said to my kids, this no is not going to turn into a yes, that was it.
Forget about it.
Right. We're done. And I don't do that every time, so that when I do that, they know I'm serious.
Right.
Right. But coming back to where you are, Joelle, to sort of close the loop on this. Well, let me ask you this way, and I want everybody to do this for your own issue, and we'll sort of wrap it up this way. At the end of every call, I'm going to ask you these four questions, and I want everybody to answer it for yourself, and then Joelle, if you're willing, I'm going to ask you to share it. First question is, what do you feel like you focused on today? In this call, not what did I talk about, but what was your focus? What were you really paying attention to? And everybody take a minute and write it down for yourself. And then the second question is, what's your clarity from today? What's your aha? And then the third is, what action do you want to commit to take from here? And if, Joelle, you're not quite sure, that's okay. We're going to talk about it in a minute. And the final question is, what do you need to do to set yourself up for success? What do you need for accountability or support, guidance, resources? What do you need? And I'm going to take questions on those four in a minute, but Joelle, can we go back to you for a minute? What do you feel like you focused on today?
I think I focus on, well, all my answers kind of have to deal with the same thing, on how it takes repetition to get him to sort of absorb anything we're doing, really. So I think just take a more active parenting role before he's in a social situation so that he has that sort of at the forefront of his mind, and maybe that'll help him handle no or disappointment a little better if we go through the steps every time.
Okay. So
over and over again?
That's good. So tell me just what's your clarity is that he needs more repetition.
He needs more repetition. He needs more going through the steps of hearing on what he needs to do.
Right.
I think.
And the other clarity I hear is that he needs more intervention to prepare him.
Yes.
Right. And so the action I hear you're saying you want to take is to prepare him more before he goes into social situations.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Anything else?
Well, also, I mean, I do this anyway, but just trying to be nearby at all times.
Okay.
When I'm there, I mean, school's a different scene, but, you know.
Right, Right.
When I'm
but
there.
Being present and available to help. Anything else?
I don't think so.
So may I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'd like to see you have a conscious conversation with him about the word no. And starting with conversation about how hard it is to hear that word no and how frustrated you are when people tell you no to things you don't get. Not about him, but start with you. Help mm-hmm. him begin to be aware of the concept of no, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's something we all deal with in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, do that for a couple of days and then have a conversation with him about how frustrating it is for him when he hears no, how hard that is for him, and how, you know, he doesn't like to feel that way and you want to help him feel better when he hears no.
Mm-hmm.
And does he want that? So sort of slowly in the next 2 weeks, I want you to get his buy-in on working on this issue of dealing with the word no. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's it. Not fixing it, not changing much, but just beginning to raise his awareness and get his buy-in on, wouldn't it be great if you didn't feel terrible every time you heard the word no?
Mm-hmm.
And would you like for me to help you learn how to handle that better and feel better about it?
That sounds good.
That sound reasonable?
I'm
and so that, then the next step from that could be, so then once you get his buy-in, then you say, okay, let's practice it. Let's give you some chances to practice it and set up a you know, immediate reward systems for when he handles it. Right? And it can be as mm-hmm. simple as the acknowledgement of, wow, what a great job. I just said no and you handled it. You took it. Way to go. You know,
mm-hmm.
here's your points. Here's your cookie. Well, you know, whatever it is, whatever you use to reinforce. But
yeah.
Get him to be part of this process of wanting to not feel awful every time he hears the word no.
Mm-hmm.
Are you up for that?
We've done a little bit of that, yes. And he started doing this thing where he'll say, Mommy, can I hit you? And I'll say, no. And he'll go, okay, Mommy. And then I'll say, didn't I do
great.
A good job?
Good. Yeah, and so you want to reward that because that's his way of practicing. It's perfect.
Okay.
So he started practicing with something he didn't really want to do.
Right.
And that helped him manage his disappointment. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. They really do take care of themselves if we give them the chance to, you know, these kids. They're brilliant.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, yep.
So what do you need to do to set yourself up for success with this?
I just do it, try it. What do you mean?
Okay. Well, do you want us to help you with accountability? Do you want to use the forum to talk about how it's going? How can you support yourself in this process?
Oh, yeah. I guess use the forum.
Okay.
I always struggle with what to do for reward systems, but
so that's
that
a great question to put out in the forum and ask people, what do you do and how do you use it? And let people sort of get a conversation going around rewards for younger kids, and specify you're talking about younger kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even the parents of older kids will tell you what they did when their kids were younger.
Mm-hmm.
So will you start a conversation on the forum about that?
Yes, about rewards, definitely.
Right. Yeah, good. And then can I ask you about this in a couple of weeks and see how it's going?
Yep.
Great.
That would be great.
Cool. Okay. So we just have a couple more minutes before we wrap up. Anybody else want to share what your commitment is for this coming week, how you want to apply this skill to your challenge? And I would encourage you to bottom line it, so not a long story, but just, you know, what do you want to commit to? What do you want us to help you hold yourself accountable to this next couple of weeks?
I'll go again if no one else wants to. This is Christy. My focus today was shifting expectations, just thinking about him that many years younger than his peers in class, because his problem is, you know, with friends at school, making fun of him, those kind of things. And my aha moment is he's not mature enough to handle that kind of conflict on his own. And I'm not there at school.
Great.
I'm not there at school to help him negotiate that with other kids or whatever. So I feel like what action I need to take is I need to talk about this with my husband first and see what action we want to take together, and then discuss it with his teacher and see if we can get her on board where Caleb can go to her and not feel like he's tattling, because that's such a big deal in school. Don't tattle, don't tattle, don't tattle. But where she could go to him, and I mean, he could go to his teacher and say, you know, someone hurt my feelings. Can you help me work through that?
Yeah, that's
or maybe,
brilliant.
You know, asking a question rather than telling on so-and-so.
Right. Just teaching our kids to ask for help is one of the most powerful gifts we can give them.
Yes.
So if he can learn to go to his teacher and say, can I get some help, please?
Yes.
That's huge. The other thing, Christy, you might try is there a school counselor at his school?
There is, yes.
So that might be another place to have a conversation. Sometimes school counselors will pull kids together and do lunch bunches. That's sort of the public school realm. And just so you know, and this is my kid was in this place many years ago, right? And now he's in seventh grade, and I just got a call from the school counselor saying, do you mind if I ask him to come be a lunch bunch, because there are some kids that are having trouble making friends, and I think he'd be good to help them. So he went from the kid who was being either bullied or bullying
mm-hmm.
to the kid who's being asked to help the other kids.
That's cool.
And this process that we're using is how he got there. So use the school counselor for that.
Okay.
Because they have a process in place for integrating those kids.
Very good.
Yeah. Anybody else? Dave, Cheryl, or Rebecca?
This is David. I'll just
want us to help you.
This is something, Christy, along your lines. My son is also 9 years old, so my wife and I struggle with a lot of the same challenges you do. As far as, you know, social skills and with other children. But, you know, one of the things he's the youngest of two children. I have an older son who's 12, and, you know, they're night and day when it comes to almost everything, except they love to fight with one another, as most siblings do. But because, you know, he really is 3 to 5 years behind emotionally, physically, and socially, you know, I've got to accept that and, you know, with his meltdowns that he's having, I got to think, well, you know, this is not necessarily how I guess I'm going to call it a normal 9-year-old would act, but this might be in a way a 5-year-old would act because he is behind because of that. So
yeah.
I've got to keep that in mind when he has these types of meltdowns and how to deal with these types of things. So.
Right.
You know, I've realized that, and you know, I've got to make sure that I don't try to compare him against his older brother, who is very athletic and plays all kinds of sports, whereas my youngest Tyler is about as unathletic as a little boy as humanly possible. And it's tough because I've got one; they're complete different spectrums, and so I'm having to try to balance that. So, you know, one of the things that I've got to do is make sure that I try to stay more involved with my youngest son to try to, you know, build him up and give him some confidence so that, you know, he can – so I just, you know, I know he looks up to his older brother and he notices the difference, and I've got to, you know, kind of put that in perspective for both myself as well as for him.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Went around a lot of
what
circles
I,
and a lot of things. But
what I want to offer to you, Dave, is there's a concept, and you can look it up on the site, called the Islands of Competence, is that when we have kids that are very different, it can actually be very good for him that he's not like his older brother. So we want to help him find what his strengths and talents are so that he's not comparing himself and competing against his older brother, but they can actually support each other in their differences instead of the younger one constantly feeling like he should.
Well, I know what his strengths are. I mean, there's no question. I know what his strengths are. He's extremely creative, and he's very, very intelligent.
Yep.
I just got to make
yep.
sure I keep his intelligence focused on what
that.
He needs to be his intelligence focused on, not necessarily what he wants to be focused on.
That's,
and that's basically, you got to get your schoolwork done, and he does very well in school in those grades. And I was telling him, I said, you're actually probably smarter than your older brother. You just don't realize it for what you are learning as a 9-year-old. So I'm trying to reiterate a lot of those strengths that he has.
Great.
And not try to compare them so much against his older brother. So,
great. Good. Thank you. Final words from Cheryl or Rebecca before we close off today?
I'm good.
You're good. Rebecca?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for being here and for being part of this process with us. I want to remind you to use the forum, remind you to turn to each other, and that Diane and I are both available if you have any questions or want to follow through with us on anything. And I will stop doing this after this call, I promise, but just one more time, I just want to acknowledge all of you for being part of this process, because you've made a commitment to yourselves, and in doing so, you've made this huge commitment to your kids, and I just really want to take that moment to honor for you for doing it, because you're making a difference, and I think you're already beginning to see the shifts are going to happen, and they're going to happen quicker than you think. So congratulations, and thanks, and I'll be seeing you online, and I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.